The last time we spoke, I had been shipwrecked on this island of Malta. And for 3 months, we stayed there until we were finally able to board a ship to Rome. First, we landed at Syracuse, then on to Rhegium, and then finally to Puteoli, which is a port city of Italy. There were brothers who allowed us to come in and stay with them. And the next day, we were off to Rome. When we arrived in Rome, the brothers and sisters there had already heard of our coming because they spoke to one another and they encouraged everyone from miles around to come and meet with me. This was a great encouragement to me from the Lord. In Rome, I was allowed to live in my own quarters under the watch of the Roman guard. But after 3 days, I called together the Jewish leaders and I spoke with them, saying, "Brothers, even though I've done nothing against our people, our customs, and our ancestors, I was arrested in Rome and turned over Jerusalem and turned over to the Romans. They examined me there. And they found that I had committed no crime. They wanted to release me, but the Jews objected. So I had no choice but to declare that I wanted Caesar's opinion. Well, I wanted to bring no case against my own people because I was on trial because of my hope, the hope of Israel. That is why I wanted to come here, to see you and to speak with you. But the people there knew nothing about this situation. In fact, nobody had come from Judea to say a word against me. But they did want to hear my views because there was great controversy regarding the people of the way. So they called together a meeting. People came from miles around as I spoke from daylight until dark about the kingdom of God, from the law of Moses and the prophets, I spoke to them and tried to convince them of our hope in Christ Jesus. Some of them believed, but others would not. And so there rose a controversy among them. And finally, they all began to leave when I spoke these words. The Holy Spirit spoke the truth to your ancestors when he spoke through Isaiah the prophet. And he said, "What shall I say to these people? Having ears, they will not hear, and having eyes, they are not perceiving, for their hearts have become calloused. And though they cannot hear with their ears, nor will they see with their eyes, otherwise they would see. They would hear, and they would understand with their hearts, and I would heal them." At this, they left. My hopes for them crushed. But my hopes for you renewed. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race, this journey, and I have kept the faith. But for you, your journey has only just begun. Will you take up your cross, and will you follow him on your mission, your journey for Christ? If so, I am certain that our paths will cross again. Yes, they will cross again on the other side. Grace to you in the name of our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Farewell.
We've heard it said that life is a journey. That's a great observation. And under the umbrella of that observation, I would say, and I think you might agree with me, that it actually feels that we're living multiple journeys all at the same time. And the mix of journeys that you're living may be slightly different from mine or from the person who's sitting next to you or in front of you or behind you this morning, but your mix of journeys might include something like this. Like under the category of family, there's the marriage journey or the desire to be married. There's parenting or grandparenting. There is your career or education journey. You might say there's a wellness or health journey, a fitness journey, or a recovery journey. And we're living all of these simultaneously. As we're beginning to think about these this morning, in any of these journeys, would you use this phrase to describe what you want out of those journeys? Would you say that what I feel is that I'm almost there? There's something that you desire out of one of those life journeys, and what you're feeling this morning is that you're almost there. That's what I'd love to jump in with you and talk about for a few minutes this morning. And if you've brought a guest with you this morning, let me just give you permission right now to lean over and say to them, that's not our main pastor. My name is Tom, and I'm one of the pastors on staff here. And let me just take this opportunity to publicly thank our senior pastor, Jerry Brooks, for giving me this opportunity. Pastor Brooks and Sherry are representing us this week at General Council, which is the gathering of all of our partner churches from around the country and around the world. And our missionaries, they are gathering in Orlando. And we appreciate those of you who have been praying for these General Council meetings. And I know you'll agree with me, man, we love our senior pastor couple, Jerry and Sherry Brooks. So for the last several weeks, we've been talking about this man named Paul, and he's been on a journey, like an actual journey, a traveling journey, and his desire has been to get to Rome. And all along the way, he encounters these detours and these obstacles and these conflicts, and they all these things put together make the journey to Rome much more difficult than he would have liked. And the heart behind this series has been inspired by this great book by Pastor Samuel Rodriguez, and the name of the book is Shake Free. We know many of you along the way have picked that book up and are reading it along with us. So you and I, we may be on a literal journey today, and you would say that Milwaukee is a physical place on the way to some other physical place that you'd like to be. Maybe you came to Milwaukee many, many years ago, and you thought it was going to be a place where you would live for a couple years. And now it's been 40 years, and Milwaukee has become your home. Today, though, I want us to take the concept of journey beyond just the physical journey, like I'm traveling, trying to get somewhere. And I want us to think of this in terms of a life path or the multiple paths that we're on. And for the conversation today, I want us to think of Rome as where you want to be. So when we say Rome today, we're thinking about where we want to be in each of these life paths. Or maybe take that a step further, not just where you want to be, but where you feel God has called you to be. On one of these life paths, there's a place that you believe God has called you to be, and you are not there yet. You're single. Rome, for you, is getting married. You're a parent, and Rome is seeing your kids launched into a life where they are equipped and ready to seize their own passions. In your career, Rome might be represented by a leadership role or a level of responsibility. It may be running your own business or taking your business to the next level. You're married, and for Rome to you today, that would be a place where you and your spouse are deeply connected and on the same page when it comes to the big decisions and the little decisions. In your finances, Rome may be getting out of debt or a level of savings so that you can retire. In at least one of your journeys, you would say today, we would say today, we're not at Rome yet. And you may be feeling anxious today because you're not in Rome. And you would tell me that because of what you've been through, because of the training you've received, because of your life experiences, you would say, I should be in Rome right now. And you're anxious. And you're impatient. Because that Rome you desire has not been realized yet. Or maybe you said, I have lost my patience. That was a long time ago, and I just can't take it anymore. So here's what I want to throw out to you today, and this is just as much for me to wrestle with as I believe it is for you to wrestle with today. Our impatience and our anxiousness is probably holding us back from all that God wants to do in us and through us. When we get so busy, so preoccupied with being anxious and impatient, we actually stand in the way of what our loving Heavenly Father wants to do in us and through us in every season of life. And this may be counter to what we think. We may convince ourselves, I need to be impatient. I need to be anxious. I need to be on the edge all the time because if I'm not, I might miss it. Let me just say this. If you are impatient all the time, anxious all the time, on the edge all the time, you are probably driving the people who you care about crazy. Impatience is especially painful when we're almost there, yet Rome is still out of reach. In one of these journeys today, it may feel like whatever Rome is, it's like right there. You can see it on the horizon. It's so close. Yet there's something, there's some reason that it has not been realized yet. Today we're going to go back to Paul's story from the pages of history, and we're going to identify what he wanted so badly, so desperately, and we're going to see that he had every reason to be impatient. He had every reason to be anxious. Yet Paul, he found purpose during his season of patience. Here's my goal for you and I today. Here's my goal for us, that you and I, we will shake free from impatience. And beyond that, that we will find purpose in our season of patience. So what do we do when we want something so bad and it feels so close, yet still out of reach? In the book Shake Free, Pastor Sam Rodriguez, he describes the tension this way, and I believe that Pastor Sam's words may echo exactly what you have going on in your heart today. He says this, we feel stuck so close to our destinations and yet so far away. We'd rather speed up the process and minimize our suffering and discomfort. It's tough to glimpse Rome, but not actually be there yet. So the book of Acts in your Bible, it picks up where Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John leave off. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we know these as the accounts of the gospel. They record the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then Acts picks up with our resurrected Savior, Jesus Christ, turning leadership of this movement we now call Christianity over to the first followers of Christ. And as they receive leadership of this, they would not do it alone, and we don't do it alone either. We have the power, the mighty power of the Holy Spirit with us. Those first followers, they shared the message. People in Jerusalem found hope in Christ by the thousands, and then the movement began to spread throughout the Roman Empire. And then onto the pages of history comes Paul. He was a young man with great religious authority, and he was given the task to bring an end to Christianity. And he was authorized to use violence, to use chaos, even the death penalty to try to stop the movement of Christianity from advancing. So if you've ever been on the other side of Christianity, if you've ever been annoyed with Christians, you would have something in common with Paul. And then Paul has this supernatural encounter with Christ, and then he becomes a follower of Christ. And there are people in this room, and you would say that your story echoes Paul's story. That a year ago, a decade ago, many, many years ago, maybe a few weeks ago, someone said, there's no way, looking at you, they said, there's no way that guy would ever become a Christian. or there's no way she would ever become a Christian. And then through a series of events that you would say could only be orchestrated by your loving Heavenly Father, you became a follower of Christ. And then Paul began telling people about Jesus, the very thing that he so violently tried to stop before. And Paul goes on to become the most well-known missionary of all time, starting churches throughout the Roman Empire and beyond. Paul's life, it points to the glory of God. Our Heavenly Father would transform his heart, transform this violent opponent into a passionate and compassionate advocate for Christ. And the same loving Heavenly Father who did this restoring work in Paul's life, he can do this in your life too. The enemy might convince you, because of what you've done, there's no way God could ever love you or use you. You might feel overwhelmed or under-equipped today, and if that's what's in your heart, look no further than the life of Paul. See, if we were completely self-righteous, if we were completely self-sufficient, we would not need the sufficiency of God. If we were perfect, moral, without any rebellion, then we would not need the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. Paul, he describes it this way in his letter to Timothy, 1 Timothy verse 1, chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. Paul says, "This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them all. But God had mercy on me so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example of his great," what's the next word? "Patience with even the worst sinners. Then others will realize that they too can believe in him and receive eternal life." God is patient. God is patient. So when we are patient in difficult situations, we are actually reflecting the character of our loving Heavenly Father. Well, after decades of this missionary work, there was still one place that Paul really wanted to be, but he had not been there yet. And so here's where we're going to identify what Paul, he wanted so desperately. He wanted to be in Rome. How do we know this? He wrote it down. Before he ever went to Rome, Paul wrote a letter to the Christians who lived in Rome. And we actually have a copy of this letter today, and it's in your Bible or it's on your app. It's called Romans. In Paul's letter to the Romans, he writes about how much he wants to be in Rome. Rome was the economic and political center of the known world. It was a great place of influence, and it was a center of government and business. In his letter to the Romans, Paul writes this, Romans chapter 1, verse 10, "One of the things I always pray for is the opportunity, God willing, to come at last to see you." And in this letter, Paul uses phrases like, "I long to visit you. I'm eager to come to you when we're together." In verse 13, Paul says this, "I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, that I planned many times to visit you, but I was prevented until now. I want to work among you and see spiritual fruit, just as I have seen among other Gentiles." Perhaps you can identify with Paul today in this way. You've wanted. You're eager. You can imagine what it will be like. Maybe you even made some plans. You've done some Google searches. You've bookmarked some websites. You've written things down. But that God-given desire in your heart has not yet become a reality. In the same letter where Paul tells the Roman Christians how much he wants to be with them, Paul encourages the Roman church to do this in chapter 12, verse 12. He says, "Rejoice in our confident hope, be patient in trouble, and keep on praying." Paul encourages the Roman church to be patient when they're in trouble, to keep on praying, to press into the hope that they have in Christ. little did Paul know that he was about to encounter trouble like he had never encountered trouble before. Little did Paul know that his patience would be tested like it had never been tested before. Little did Paul know that he was about to enter into a time in his life when he would rely on the power and protection of Jesus Christ like he had never relied on it before. And Paul sends this letter telling the Romans how much he wants to be with them. Then, if you were to fast forward the timeline, 4 to 5 years later, Paul actually is in Rome. So he sends the letter to Rome. He says, I want to be with you. I desperately want to be with you. I'm eager to be with you. I can't wait to be with you. And 4 or 5 years down the road, he is in Rome. The last few weeks, we've been camped out in the final chapters of the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. Acts was written by Luke, who also wrote Luke. And then Acts abruptly concludes with this statement about Paul. This is the last verse in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 28, verse 31. He, Paul, proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. Paul is in Rome, boldly speaking about Jesus, and nothing and no one could stop him. So Paul wrote about being in Rome, and then 4 or 5 years later, he's in Rome, and he has exactly what he told the people in Rome that he so desperately wanted. He's able to talk about Jesus as much as he wants, and no one can stop him. So if these are the two bookends, Paul says that, I want to be in Rome. I am in Rome. What happens in the 4 or 5 years in the gap? Well, in the gap, Paul is falsely accused of a religious crime. He is arrested. He is threatened with death, sent in chains on a prison ship toward Rome. He is shipwrecked, and while he is on this island that he never thought he would be on, he is bit by a venomous snake. Last week we talked about how he shook that snake off, and he survived. All these reasons, maybe even just one of these reasons, we would say that's a reason to quit. You know what? If you gave up after you were shipwrecked, I would understand. If you decided to throw in the towel after you survived a bite from a deadly venomous snake, you know what? I understand. Maybe I would give up too. The reasons, if not to quit, maybe the reasons to be anxious or reasons to be impatient. Paul's thinking, I should be in Rome, and here I am stranded at Malta with no sign of getting off this island. The reasons to be anxious, reasons to be impatient. And in that moment, if we're Paul, who so desperately wants to be in Rome, we might be going nuts saying, I should be in Rome right now. Then, Paul gets off the island of Malta, but he's still not in Rome. Let's pick up in Acts chapter 28, verse 11. And I want you to pay attention to the places and the times. Acts chapter 28, verse 11. It was 3 months after the shipwreck that we set sail on another ship that we had wintered, that had wintered on the island, an Alexandrian ship with the twin gods as its figurehead. Our first stop was Syracuse, where we stayed 3 days. From there, we sailed across to Rhegium. A day later, a south wind began blowing, so the following day we sailed up the coast to Puteoli. Syracuse is 350 miles from Rome. They were there for 3 days. Rhegium is 300 miles from Rome, another day. Puteoli is 100 miles from Rome. How long would they be there? Well, look at verse 14. There we found some believers who invited us to spend a week with them. And so we came to Rome. The brothers and sisters in Rome had heard we were coming, and they came out to meet us at the Forum on the Appian Way. Others joined us at the Three Taverns. When Paul saw them, he was encouraged and thanked God. They were in Puteoli for a week. Then they came to Rome, or what we might consider the suburbs of Rome, because the Forum was still 43 miles away and Three Taverns was still 35 miles away. And these were places on the Appian Way, which was perhaps the most important highway in the world at that time. At that time in world history, literally all roads led to Rome. So today, you might feel like you've made it through Malta, but you're not in Rome yet. You're stuck in Syracuse, Regium, Puteoli, the Forum, or Three Taverns. You graduated from college, but that job offer you thought would be there is not there. You paid off huge debts in your quest to become debt-free, but there are still a few thousand dollars on the credit card that you just can't seem to shake. You have accomplished everything that has been asked of you, and you've done them well, yet you have been passed over for the promotion by somebody else. You've put yourself out there as a foster family, yet the legal process has become messy, emotional, and uncertain. You've got a binder full of preparations for your wedding day, yet he still hasn't proposed. In situations like these that are represented in this room, here's my belief in your life. God would not bring you this close to Rome only to abandon you in Regium, Syracuse, Puteoli, the Three Inns, somewhere along the Appian Way. Now here's where we may stumble. We must not equate patience with sitting around just waiting for our ship to come in. Just waiting for someone to notice you. Waiting for that call, waiting for that text, waiting for that email. Just waiting, not doing anything with excellence, but convincing ourselves that when we get to Rome, whatever that is, then we'll start doing it with everything we've got. See, patience is not laziness. Patience is not idleness. I'm not making this up. This is not my idea. This is lived out in the life of Paul. When Paul was shipwrecked with all those other people in Malta, we don't see him going to fetch the beach chair and just sitting there with a cold glass of lemonade in his hand as people come by. Paul, what are you doing in Malta? Just waiting for Rome. Just waiting for Rome. Waiting for my ship to come in. Waiting for someone to call. You may be so impatient about getting to Rome that you miss what God has for you in Malta. You may be so impatient, so anxious about getting married that you'll miss what God wants to do through you and in you as a single person. You may be so anxious to be the manager that you'll miss what God wants to do through you in your current position. You may be so anxious to get out of this city that you'll miss what God wants to do through you in Milwaukee. You may be so anxious to complete your sentence for a criminal conviction that you'll miss what God wants to do through you during incarceration or probation. We have many in our church family who have received a devastating diagnosis. And some of you have been living with this diagnosis for a long time. Maybe you suffered a terrible injury. And the recovery and the healing that you so desperately want has not been instant. And maybe it's even been difficult for you because you've seen others who have received healings that have come much faster. Yet you continue to suffer. I don't say this lightly. Do not be so anxious or impatient for your healing that you will miss what God wants to do in you and through you through the healing process. There are life stories in this room of people who have experienced their greatest spiritual strengthening when their bodies were physically at their weakest. Yes, Paul was falsely accused. He was arrested. He was threatened with death. He was sent in chains on a prison ship toward Rome. He was shipwrecked. He was bit by a venomous snake. During each of these obstacles and conflicts and detours, Paul had every reason to be anxious and impatient because of his desire to be in Rome. But also during that time, Paul received God-given opportunities to share Christ with soldiers, prisoners, and crowds. He had the opportunity, because he was a prisoner, to tell two governors about Jesus. He experienced and explained the miraculous to sailors who thought they would surely die. He brought healing to people on Malta, including the father of the most powerful man on the island. He developed connections with the military guard who held him prisoner, who would eventually give him favor with powerful people upon his arrival in Rome. Along the way, Paul was pouring out the love of Christ into other people, and other people were pouring love into him as well. Looking back, we can see there was a reason that God allowed for Paul's arrest. We can see that there's a reason God allowed for the shipwreck. We can see that God had a purpose for Paul in Malta. And let me tell you this morning. If you can make it to Malta, you can make it to Rome. Some of you are already thinking what I'm about to say next. Rome was not some sort of finish line in Paul's journey. And whatever Rome is in your life, it's not the finish line either. It is the starting line for a new level of responsibility and influence. If you are impatient and anxious before you get to Rome, there's a really high probability that once you get there, you're going to find something else to be impatient and anxious about. So come on, brothers and sisters, let's shake free from the sin of impatience. On the other end of this journey, when Paul is in Rome, he writes four letters that are now included in our Bible. And Paul is a prisoner in Rome, and so these letters are what we call the prison epistles, the prison letters, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. Consider the weight of what Paul writes, given what he went through to get to Rome. Colossians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. We also pray that you will be strengthened with all his glory, glorious power, so that you will have all the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2, always be humble and gentle. Be, you say it, patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, a lot of you may have memorized this fourth verse. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. When Paul writes to the Colossians, Ephesians, and Philippians about patience, he's writing as one who has walked the walk. Patience is not idleness. It is a time for strengthening, building, endurance, humility, forgiveness, thankfulness, prayer, seeking God for what is on your heart. Patience is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, and patience. As we bring this to an end today, what you may view as an obstacle, God may want to use as a compass. What you have been seeing for all this time, what you have viewed as an obstacle, God may be intending to use that as a compass. And when we face those obstacles, when things don't move along as fast as we want them to be, let me warn you about this. Settling for less than God's best is a great temptation during a season of patience. Settling for less than God's best is a great temptation during a season of patience. When you're deep in debt, you may see an opportunity to cut corners in your organization, cheat the numbers, or handle business in a way that is less than honoring God. When you have your heart on marrying someone who loves Jesus as much as you do, and that's not happening immediately, you may be tempted to jump into a relationship with one who will give you the attention now. When you are not getting the recognition, promotion, or pay increase that you desire, you may be tempted to leave your organization, even though the Holy Spirit, it's obvious to you, the Holy Spirit is telling you, I need you to stay put where you are. Your Heavenly Father is saying, I need you to trust me that I see what's going on. And remember, Pastor Brooks, he loves to share this and remind us of this, that promotion comes from the Lord. Be reminded that your Heavenly Father, He knows what He's doing. He's never asleep or off the job. You're in Syracuse, Regium, Puteoli, or even just down the road in the Appian Way. Rome is so close. You'd say, I feel like I'm almost there. Today is not the day to give up. Today is not the day to give in. Well, you might be saying, well, what if the door actually is shut? What if the door actually is shut? And this is a scenario that comes up from time to time. Someone will say, God told me to marry that guy. And then that guy got married to somebody else. Well, should I keep praying that I'll be married to that guy? Father, I pray that you would bring hatred into that marriage, that they would be divided against each other, and that they would separate so that my Rome, who is that man, that we can be together. What if your Rome was getting married to that guy and that guy married somebody else? In a situation like that, it's possible that God has someone else in mind for you, someone else who loves Jesus. Do you realize that sometimes God may know something that you don't know? Maybe it's somebody that you already know, or maybe it's somebody that you haven't met just yet. And then a lot of us would say, looking back, those moments were like, why didn't this come together then? Why didn't I receive this when I asked for it? And then a few years down the road, we can look back and we say, oh, right, now I know. God, I can see exactly how you were pulling things together. Now I know. Now I know. In those moments when you feel like the door is shut, he married someone else, the business that you thought would be thriving, that you started, ended up failing, the treatment that was supposed to cure ended up being ineffective. Well, maybe that wasn't your Rome after all. What you thought was Rome was actually Malta. And the choice that each of us has is to exist in impatience when things are not going our way, or to press into God with patience. Exist in impatience and anxiety, or press into God with patience. Because friends, here's what I know is true. Patience pulls us closer to our God-given purpose. Patience pulls us closer to our God-given purpose. So what do we do? How do we live this out? You may want to start by writing it down. Paul did. He wrote to the Romans exactly what he felt God placed on his heart. And so whatever your Rome is today, maybe you've already done this, or maybe today would be a great day to do this. Take out a journal or use the note app in your phone. There's something that's clarifying about writing it down, putting it in words, so you can refer back to that. You might say today that you're in Rome, or you want to be in Rome, but you're in Syracuse, Regium, Puteoli, or along the Appian Way. This is a great time to say, Father, I believe that someday you are going to bring me to Rome, but Father, help me not to miss what you have for me here. Pastor John, a couple weeks ago, talked about the value of who we surround ourselves with and allowing others to pour encouragement into us. And we see as Paul was along the way to Rome, he met people who encouraged him in every stop along the way. And so maybe today, as you see Rome somewhere in the horizon, you might even say, you're almost there. And maybe today, that what your Heavenly Father wants to do in your life is to allow those other people who love Jesus, who you know, to speak encouragement into your life. This season, this is going to be convicting for me, maybe for you too. This season may also be a time for you to evaluate your motives. Why do you want to get to Rome? Is it for your own name to be lifted up? Is it for your own glory? Is it for your own wealth? For Paul, the motivation was for God's name to be glorified and for the advancement of the message of hope in Christ. quote that we started off the day with. Life is a journey. Some of you may have caught this right away. You know that's not the end of the quote. Life is a journey, not a destination. You know what? Yes, it's possible that you could receive your Rome, that you could get everything you have ever wanted right away without any conflict, without any detours, without any obstacles. But you know what? Then you wouldn't have a story to tell. Then you wouldn't have a testimony. We talked about all these journeys or life paths under the umbrella of family, marriage, parenting, grandparenting, career, education, finance, healing, and recovery. Well, where does spirituality fit into that? When we think about all these things at home and in our community and in our workplace, family and parenting and grandparenting and married and the desire to be married, savings, getting out of debt, healing, achieving our fitness goals. Is spirituality and pursuing God, is it just another one of those journeys? Is it just another one of life's many paths? Our Heavenly Father, He desires to be the wind in our sails and the compass for all of the journeys that we're on in this life.